Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
sponsored by A.P. Taylor, and that was the poem, The Words You Cannot Say, turned into a song, and the writer of the poem was Jay Hatter, and the singer and writer of the music is Shout Even Shy. This is Deborah Lee, and we are here tonight to feature the words of Purple Chaos. We are a radio group that hangs out on the poetry site, allpoetry.com, one of the biggest out there. And it's free to join. And if you join or you're a member, you can find us under the tab for groups and on the list, a team of voices. Knock on the door and I'll meet you there. And I joined by my co-host, my big brother, Hatter. Hey, Hatter, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Glad you're here. And we have quite a few poems that look pretty awesome, and we have a half a dozen or so sound clips for you. So we are in for a treat. And I am also featuring the artist to go with Purple Chaos quotes. The artist is Jessica Elaine. And if you aren't in the group and you can't see the photos, you should Google the name. She's got amazing art. And I'm going to quickly go over the 10 quotes that the poets had to choose from tonight. And what they had to do was choose one of the quotes and then pair it with one of the pictures and write a poem for us. So those quotes, again, all by Purple Chaos, are: 1, carry black storm clouds into violet skies, striking the lightning to see fire brightening behind my eyes. 2, shadowy limbs reached upward, grasping to hold the fading sun. 3, ripping fabric rings, no bells of desperation, deep grooves of reverberating screams. 4, when the violet night winds blow, I go to where the indigo wraps itself around the moon and sings gold stars a gentle tune. 5, silenced dancers become shadows hovering in indistinct headlights, vanishing to escape songs that throw daggers. 6, galaxies spin bands of wind around eyes, raining life into spring storms. 7, sweet tea afternoons, glowing amber, as thick and syrupy as whispered draw. 8, floodwaters call me to wade into darkness, seeking death's cut flower dirge. 9, a flutter of wings sends petals on the wind. And then the 10th choice, the party boiled over into the southern humidity, bubbling past midnight. And again, all 10 of those choices were written in pieces of poems by Purple Chaos. So on that note, let's get this show on the road. Now, as I said, I see Chaos on the board. Let me say, okay. We have quite a few sound clips on the board because as the summer continues on, people do more and more stuff into the evening. So we shall carry on. And Hatter, I see that yours is on the board. So why don't you kick us off and take us away?
I put it on the board. I meant to put it.
That's
okay.
All right. It's there. So read for us.
Okay. It's called Chaos. Said, invited for tea, I shan't be late. The invite said 8:30. When I arrived, I went inside to see who was here. What I found was no one around. It's what I most feared. I checked the date. Yep, 8:30. Am I where I'm supposed to be? If that's you, that makes 2, and 2 and me make 3. Simmer on down. There's no one around. I think I remember you. Are you the color time forgot? Tell me now if you're not. It looks like it could be true. Never suggest I am your guest. I don't know where you are. Looking for shiny things that look like bling. It's probably a shooting star. May I confide I need a ride back to where I came from? May I confide I need a ride back from where I came? I hope you know which way to go. It's where they're all insane. It feels a little queer. I think I'm all here. I know... At least I know who I am. But I'm at a loss. Are you Chaos? I think I am your friend. Don't be alarmed. I escaped from the farm. Your secrets are safe with me. So get back, Jack, and welcome back to ATOV. To Chaotic Thoughts, let's raise my glass to a little chaos, please. I'm home at last.
Oh, Hatter, that's so cool. I like all the places that you took us in your mind. I checked the date. Yep, 8:30. Am I where I'm supposed to be? That's you. That makes 2, and 2 and me are 3. It's got that perfect chatter rhyme. Are you the color time forgot? Tell me now. Or if you're not, it looks like it could be true. The stanzas shrink a little, but they're still just as powerful. Like, but I'm at a loss. Are you Chaos? I think I am your friend. Don't be alarmed. I escaped from the farm. Your secrets are safe with me. And then the last two I think are especially endearing. Of course, So get back, Jack, and welcome back to ATOV. To chaotic thoughts, let me raise my glass. A little chaos, please. I'm home at last. That is so cool. It goes great with her quote and the variety of images and the art you chose is really cool too. But it just so happens that our featured poet showed up as you were reading. So let's say hello to Ms. Purple Chaos. Hello, Chaos.
Hello. I finally got it together electronically.
Yeah. Right, and I'm glad you were able to make it. But before I get you to quote on Hatter's poem, let me let a couple guests in. We have our sponsor, AP Taylor, on the line. Welcome to the show, AP. Glad you're here.
Hi, Chaos.
Hello.
And I also have Mr. Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne. Welcome to the
show.
How
are you?
Glad you're here.
How's it going?
Pretty well.
How about you? Hello.
Oh, having a good night and enjoying it. Glad to be here.
Awesome. Okay, Chaos, what do you think of the poem that Hatter wrote for you?
I love it. It's so much fun. I love Hatter's rhyme. It just dances around in your head and plays with your thoughts.
It's a little
welcome back for me, so I appreciate that.
Did you catch the prolly?
I'm sorry?
Say that again.
The prolly. Instead of probably. You know how you do?
Oh, prolly. Oh, okay, yeah. There you go. I probably didn't realize when you said it, but still cool.
It used to drive Black Rain crazy when she'd do that.
Oh, I see it. Oh, there is a prolly in there.
Yeah.
I used to drive people crazy with that. Black Rain. Oh my gosh, you would get downright hostile over a prolly.
Yeah, he would.
He would get downright hostile over it.
I picked that up
in New Orleans and never let it go.
Yeah. I remembered.
Even 22 years back in Oklahoma, I'm still saying prolly. Wow, I'm old. But I spell it like that too. That's part of my language now.
Way cool. And before I get a quote from the next reader, let's say hi to Sky. Hey.
Hello, I know you're surprised, so am I. I got out early. I could have stayed till 11, but I said, can I go now? And they said yes, so I'm here. And don't be worried, because I say wicked, right, up here in New England. That's wicked awesome. So,
wicked.
Right there, you say,
that is wicked
you say
awesome.
Frolly, and I'll say wicked. And we'll
there
be
you go.
Two pairs of rights.
Way cool.
Oh, there's quite a few chaosisms, but Frolly is one of them.
Yeah, I think it's cool that he remembered that and pulled it out for the poem Chaos. It's those little touches that add to the fact that stuff you say and do are remembered. So very cool. And I don't know if AP was here in time to hear about how to read. If you did, go ahead and comment.
Very happy to comment because I sort of joined halfway through. I'm always up for a bit of number games, the two and the three, and I did like the stanzas starting with the confide and the ride and the know, the go, the queer, the here, and it And to me, they were quite, they weren't chaotic thoughts at all. They were quite well ordered and very well rhymed.
Thank you, AP.
Awesome. And if you would mention the quote that you wrote to and then show us what you got.
Yes, I will do that. I actually went with the quote, "Silenced dancers become shadows hovering in indistinct headlights, vanishing to escape songs that throw daggers." There were about 65 different things in that, which I really liked. And so because of that, I went for that. And this is Searchlight Beams, so a very neat piece of art. And it goes a little bit like this. "Cobwebs colour the edges of my horizon, tentacled the slivers of white. Searchlight beams stack as wartime flak as I watch through the rains for respite. Over a single dying tree withered as black, candles their flames left recede. Unveiled awaits my spirit, small as delicate, my dagger's tunes leave me to bleed. Outside are mountains, but nothing here lives, illusions of a pallid flicker. In chains, lather, harpies here, they gather over my remains, hymns echoing bicker. False light dashes, those dots within dawn, hope's crystal lie smashed near. Spiders' legs morse within my few thoughts, doubts pirouette, on shadows they leer." End poem.
Awesome. Awesome. As I mentioned earlier, I love the opening line about the cobwebs that color the edges of the horizon, because you can see them on the edges in the art. And all the way through, I think it came out really awesome between your rhyme scheme and the meaning in the lines. But that closing line there with the dashes and the dots were really cool. And I love Hope's crystal lie smashed near, spider legs morse within the few thoughts, doubts pirouette on shadows they leer. I like the doubts pirouette. That's a really cool metaphor. And I'm going to back up a little bit too, because unveiled awaits my spirit, small as delicate, while dagger tunes leave me to bleed. There's like a sadness in the thoughts of being left to bleed, of course. I think that you did a really fantastic job between the quote by Chaos and that art. But like I said, that the closing stanza is great, but I really, really love that opening line there. And it tentacled, what a great way to talk about the threads. So, like, pretty brilliant.
Thanks, Deb.
Okay. Chaos, what you think?
I love the dying tree. The black candles. This particular stanza really struck me. It's the one that brings the dagger's tunes, the unique bleed. That's the part that really struck me. Of course, the part kind of referring to also to the quote. That's really striking. I have a thing about dying trees. You wouldn't believe my picture after picture of the tree. And the mountains where nothing lives. The whole thing is just, I really love the desolate feeling of the whole thing. It is really a place where I could live. And thank you for writing. This is beautiful.
Thanks, Bill.
Awesome comment. And now, Chaos, I don't know how many of these that you've been around for, because, you know, you had been gone for a while, hence Hatter welcoming you back. How we usually work these is I comment and then you do, because they're all written to or for you, and then the next reader comments. But in this case, I'm going to ask Wayne to comment because I'm going to read mine next. Wayne?
Yes, I can see the comments. I'm at the top of the second here. I said, great, a cool poem. It has lots of rather unusual words in it, rather unusual to me. I really like the harpies. Here they gather, and the doubts of Tarant on the shadows they leer. Two great lines there. It's a great job, great line, great rhyme, great words, and enjoy reading it. Good job, R.A.P.
Yeah, thanks, Juan. Cheers.
Awesome comment. And before I start reading, AP, how long are you hanging out?
I'll sit around for your poem, Deb, and then we'll disappear after that.
Oh, okay, cool. Appreciate that. And I put mine on the board, and I have to admit that this is my second poem, because when I was finished the first one, I hated it. So I wrote a new one, and I like this one much better, just saying. And I couldn't choose just one, so I went with shadowy limbs reach upward, thing to hold the fading sun, and ripping fabric rings as bells. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. Ripping fabric, I can't even see this print is so, here we go. Sorry. Ripping fabric rings no bells as desperation's deepens the grooves of reverberating screams, and then also, floodwaters call me to wade into darkness, seeking death's cut flower dirge. Okay, and it is called, As the Little Light of Mine Dies, My Last Butterfly Flies. Here we go. Storm shrouds are raining on flower gardens, striking the violets, then the perfume petals fall. The floodwaters wash the teardrops that spill, puddling as screams flow like a banshee's call. Screams are silenced as thunder rattles, neath lightning daggers cutting the gray skies, ripping the indigo tints and the amber hues. Then inside me, this little light of mine dies. Shadow patches confiscate the daylight. Rage chases all the goldenrod swallowtails. Wings escape from cracks and crevices as the sinking sun leaves darkness in trails. Dew from butterfly kisses or liquid skin, now no sutures scar the flesh outside me. But inside, the scars are thick and deep, festering in places that eyes cannot see. Fat clouds hover, tapping songs on tin rooftops. Raindrop dancers bounce on green leaves, curled on the branches of the cypress trees, with limbs swinging from the whispered breeze. Soaked to the skin, full lips tremble on the muddy ground wrapped in a fetal ball. My last butterfly flies into the black horizon, so I rock my torso and wait for death to call. End poem. Oh, I'm not commenting on my own poem, so what do you think, Chaos?
I don't even know where to start on this one.
Like at the end.
I guess I'll just,
I rock my torso.
Start at the end, yeah.
Yeah, really. I rock my torso and wait for death to call. You can just visualize that. So to the skin.
I like rendering her speechless. I'll take that.
Yeah, that end just ended me.
Yeah. It was. What's on the girl's back? Is that like a cracked porcelain? Is she fragile?
That's
what that is?
Okay. This has come from, like, you know, somebody, sometimes you get butterflies from a person and then at the end they kill them. And that's like the last one.
Oh, yeah.
Giving some butterfly kisses to, like, fixing the boo-boo before it flies away type of thing. But, yeah, between her words and that picture, it was like, emotion-packed. And I couldn't figure out where to go with the last one, so I chose new art and new quotes and started over, and I'm really glad I did because I wasn't happy with the last one.
What was wrong with the other one?
It stunk. It really stunk.
I've done that. I have just had a piece that I just went, just no, and just scrapped the whole thing and started over again. I had a show like about a month ago that I wrote three poems for the same show and had, and because I was like, I can't read that. Nope. I can't read that. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Here's
yeah.
one I can actually read for the show.
Yeah. Well, that's where I was. It was a complete poem and it even somehow scored 10, but I just hated it. And like, how do you present something that you hate? So I just skipped it altogether. Anyway, a piece that you said you had to go. Did you want to comment before you do?
Okay, the image was great because it and the way you took it being the last butterfly was really very neat because you sort of then used that as a sort of way of sort of getting rid of all the colours and it becoming a very sort of dark and inwardly sort of looking piece, particularly inside the scars, the thick and deep, festering in places that eyes cannot see. And it's interesting because it's almost like there's this little piece of sunlight that dances out in the second to last stanza that gets nicely clamped and smashed in the final one. Because the poem has a real tone of sort of heading towards a sort of final solution, and I think it was really neatly done because it had that sort of sense of foreboding all the way. You knew where it was going, or I did anyway, because of the way it was written and that sense of the piece. So there you go.
Thank you very much, and I'm glad you were able to call. I know you got to go, but we shall talk
soon.
Yeah,
thank you.
Love respect.
And thanks. Thank you. Have a great show, and all the best, Chaos, and we'll talk soon.
You have a great time. Good day.
Okay,
day?
Thank you.
Day for you, right? Great day.
Day, yeah, it's lunchtime here now, the day after, so it's very confusing. Anyway, thanks again, Chaos. We'll talk soon.
All right, awesome. And, Wayne, I am grabbing your link now so we can listen to your sound.
Well, I want to comment on your poem first. I want to comment on your poem. It's a sad poem of pain with the storm raging on. And as the storm arrives, there's little hope left. And at the end, he said it well when he said, so I rock my torso and wait for for death to call. There's a lot of pain in this poem, but he's written some wonderfully important words. That it's a wonderful poem. I can feel the pain in this poem. Great job.
Thank you very much, Wayne. And do you know off the top of your head what the quotes were that you wrote to? Let me see. Are they written down here? Yes, you did.
I wrote two of them, I think. The shadowy limbs reach upward, grasping to hold the fading sun. Is what I wrote about, and it's in the first line. It's where I kind of worked it into because I didn't use it exactly. So I wrote it in the first stanza, and I hope you enjoy it. You hit the front page already, so I kind of like it. I hope you all enjoy it.
Oh, awesome! I am headed to the studio to start the SoundCloud. Okay, here we go.
This is called Friday Night on Riverfront. Friday's fading sun breaks tree limb grasp. Daylight surrenders and quietly collapse. Dust carrying darkness surrounds shadows. Weeping starlight dots engulf weekly winos. Moonbeams bounce off waterway bridge bright. Fluffy feline statue stares at flickering city light. Nightlife streets explode in singing sounds. Riverboat men announce Friday night round. Second Street saxophone whines dusk to dawn. Last call brews. Frosty head hastily drawn. Bagel bar's blown whistle recites all aboard. Maritime sailors dimple across oak plank board. Weekend lay silent. Waving barges in tow, homeless hippies sleep in, down on Skid Row. Pale pigeons puzzled, at porcelain people's flow. Loneliness laughs, the Saturday sleeping shadow. In.
Note for starters, I have to admit that I was sitting here and my head was sort of bobbing to the jazzy background there. So I really liked it. You always choose really cool background music for them, Wayne. And then you have this soft tone about your voice as you just calmly take us on a journey, like daylight surrenders and quietly collapse, dusk carrying darkness surround shadows. The image of the surround shadows, I took it like a play on words, like surround sound, but this was surround shadows, and it was there's a sad thought to being surrounded by shadows. It's like that cloud over your head that just won't go away. And I like moonbeams bounce off watery bridge bright, fluffy feline statue stares as flickering city light, and I like the image of the moonbeams bouncing off the water. And I never thought of the kitty as a statue, but it fits perfectly in with the tone there, especially in the sadness. And then in the second to the last stanza, Second Street saxophone whines dusk till dawn, whines. That might be what it is that adds to that emotion in the bluesy feel, that whining of the saxophone. So I really like the way you described that there. And homeless hippies sleep in down on Skid Row. I've seen images of Skid Row, which a lot of people think is just a name or a metaphor, but it's actually a real life place. And even in all the sadness and the fact that just about every one of them are homeless with almost nothing, quite often you still see smiles. And I think that comes from the camaraderie with the others that are there, don't have any more than you do.
Right.
Loneliness laughs at Saturday's sleeping shadow. So I think this came out really awesome, as always.
Yeah, Friday night's always a big room, but Friday night, just everybody starts partying, and Saturday morning, downtown's dead. You know, Saturday morning, just nothing going on. It's all just real sleepy and laid back on Saturday mornings. That's what I'm trying to capture.
Well, you did.
That cat,
for sure,
is one of those giant man coons, that cat.
It's a pretty cat. I like it.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, and they are huge cats.
They got an evil stare.
Some of them do, yeah. I saw a picture of this one. It was It literally looked evil. It was just, you could have, you could have got me to convince, you could have convinced me that that cat was possessed. That's how evil the look it was captured in.
You know what started the burning of the witches in Salem was that women owned cats, and cats killed rats, and rats carried the plague with the fleas. So they wouldn't catch it, and they thought they were in league with the devil because the women were not dying.
Ooh.
The cat's fault.
Pretty cool trivia there, Hatter. Chaos, what you think of the poem?
I was just laughing because I have a cat. It's not fluffy like this. She's huge. She probably weighs about 12, 13 pounds.
Right.
And when she stares at you, I swear she stares straight into your soul. That, and we have no idea where she came from. She just spawned at my house. She's just meant to be here. She's a special cat. This is a really cool poem. It's got a lot of visuals, a lot of sound, a lot of everything. You know, it touches all your senses. It's all there. And I'm crazy about the saxophone. I used to listen to the saxophones in New Orleans. You know, saxophone hits me hard at that, and I got a little sax player right here in my house. She's about to go into her third year playing saxophone, so you know, I love that. But I used to go down in New Orleans and listen to this guy play saxophone down on the what they call the moonwalk down by the river.
I've been there several times.
Watch the river boats go by and listen to this guy play saxophone, eat beignets and drink coffee, which is really cool early in the morning, and nobody around. I just love how this just grasps all of your senses. It's nice.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Great comment. And Sky, before you read for Angel for me, can you comment for Sky, please? I mean, yeah, okay. Sky, can you comment for Sky? You know what I mean. Comment for Wayne, please.
I was just going to let you sneak past that, Deb. I was just saying, well, yeah, I'd love to comment for Wayne. I was going to let you go right under the radar. I thought it was wonderful. I really love the mood. And I like that you went with the bluesy feel because the background is blue. So, and it has the city, of course, and the nightlight. So I love how you give this nightclub, back alley kind of idea with the saxophone and the winding till dusk. And of course, I mean, you start way before that when you start to talk about the day. Light surrenders and quietly collapses. I mean, I know you write collapse, but I'm in past tense thinking of the idea of the daylight collapsing. I never really thought about that in that way. So I thought that was really creative. And for that reason, it was one of my favorite lines because I thought the concept of that was really creative. And then, of course, you have the weeping starlight. And again, when you look at this picture and you see this rain-type glints that are coming down the photo, it does look like weeping starlight because of the glistening of the dewdrops. And I liked how you took that. And you went somewhere completely different when you took it to Starlight. I thought that was really cool. And the fact that you used the winnows was a highlight for me. And, yeah, like I said, I love the mood of it. I love the mood, the language, the story. And it was very, very laid back, and I really enjoyed that about it. Yeah, I felt like I can just get in that blues feel right there. Really well done.
Ooh. Great comment.
Thank you.
Some comments? If you would read the quote that Angel wrote to and then take us away, appreciate it.
Yeah, like, can I break your rules?
Yeah, I guess.
I just wanted to say that the way you felt about your poem is like the way that I'm feeling about every poem that comes out of my face right now, and I really did love this one. And I just wanted to say I loved how you brought the concept of this little light of mine, the tune of that, and the lightness of that, and the hope that that song brings, and then turned it around to such a dark place. And it was kind of funny that, and you know, when it was being read, I was in a different, obviously you're in those dark stages and having that loss. And then AP came out with, you know, your line, how you have my last butterfly flies. And then he said you wrote a poem about the last butterfly. And it reminded me of this film, a very, very dark film about World War II. And then your poem just took a whole different life to me in the perspective of that very dark film based on a camp. And then it grew, it breathed a new life to it. It was really cool to kind of see it in that transition in like legit like 3 minutes. Anyway, I really enjoyed it. Thank you for letting me break your rules. And
thank you, Scott.
Thank you, welcome. This is, I'm reading Heavenly Angel, right, first?
Yes,
is that what you
please.
Said? Or? Okay. So she wrote to the quote, when the violet night winds blow, I go where the indigo wraps itself around the moon and sings gold stars a gentle tune. And, of course, that's by Purple Chaos. And then Heavenly Angel wrote Enchanted Whispers. By Heavenly Angel. When the violet night winds blow enchanted whispers, I go where the indigo wraps itself around the moon and sings gold stars a gentle tune. Cinderella dreams lie cradled in the abyss of Tuscany, rescued from the ashes, spirit serenades heart with syllable sung and enchanted whispers carried upon tranquil breeze.
It's a great gravity. I'm stuttering because I recognize some of Chaos's lines in the poem and I'm sorry, Chaos.
I seen that after, and you know, I pre-read it, and I apologize because I didn't read the quote, and when I pre-read it, I should have seen the quote, so I apologize to you, Deb. I should have gave you a heads up, but I honestly didn't read the quote when I read the poem to pre-read it.
Yeah, no, I didn't think to look for people to have enough. I mean, most of the time, it's okay. There's only been a 3 or 4 times that the poet didn't want their words used in the poems themselves, and I feel bad, and I know that I know for sure that Angel didn't do it in any kind of spiteful way. She just obviously is so used to writing for me that she didn't catch the part. But she incorporated them beautifully, and as always, it's already a multiple award winner when it arrived, which I always find really cool that every poem. I can't think of any that didn't, so I'm going to stick with every poem that she writes for the Monday shows, wins a couple of awards before the show, which speaks really highly of her poems. And I like the ending there, spirit serenades heart with syllable sung in enchanted whispers. And I thought that was really cool because Enchanted Whispers is the name of the art series that Jessica Elaine created, and almost every single one of the pieces of art in this collection of choices was from her Enchanted Whispers collection, which is actually one of my favorites of her collections. I love her as an artist, but her Enchanted Whispers are so thought-provoking and filled with emotion, so I like that she gave a nod to the artist by naming the collection in there as well. And thank you for reading, Scott. You did it beautifully. Chaos, what did you think?
Um, Well, I really like the last few stanzas. I mean, of course I like the first one. It's mostly mine. I really like the last one. That spirit serenades the heart with syllable sung and enchanted with grace carried upon a transitable breeze. That's really pretty. That's really pretty. I'm very disappointed that an award, you run on awards, that's my word. But, I'm just going to leave it at that.
No, that's fine. I understand. Like I said, I'm
just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, no, I understand. Like I said, I know in my heart that it wasn't something that was done spitefully, but I also understand that you requested they weren't used. And
yeah, and they're not even in quotes or anything. So it's like claiming them as your own. So I don't care for that.
Yeah, I apologize.
But,
and I'm sure when she realizes, she will too. Really,
I mean,
sorry.
I know it's in the author's notes, but people very rarely even read those. So I've seen a guy write Shakespeare on his, thing and get comments like he wrote it.
Yeah, well, I did. If you look at the topic page, I did make an important note, and I wrote it in all capital letters and made it in bold print and large. But, again, I say that she's so used to writing for my Monday shows that she probably just thumbed through and to the quotes. And anyway, again, I apologize. Let's go to the...
It's okay. It's just, you know, I believe that writers should know that automatically. Anything that is not there should be in quotation.
Yeah, no, I understand.
So.
I understand. All right, if you would click on the poem by Titus, who was inspired by every single one of your quotes, which is saying something.
Wow.
Yeah. So I am going to head over and push play, because I read every single one of your quotes to kick off the show so that the listeners would know what we were inspired by. So, again, I say Tony was inspired by them all. So here we go.
A gaze into the future. Now let me see. Let not my desperation seek erstwhile the only words of guidance offered, mine, merely instinct, should it grasp sublime disclosure, gentle foresight, to beguile such words to serve to practice even worse, a whispered drawl of emotion being stirred to wrap around this dowager a curse. Persuasion in their multitudes has heard reverberating screams. The senses still preserve long-drawn and upward-reaching, touching moments these. I'll wait until the altitudes, a conscience now besieging galaxies. A waste of time it has been given, it strikes light. Kindness behind the disguise, ripping fabric is what was asked. Driven by what has been an evil notion to ignite. Surprise, surprise. No rest for the wicked. Dependency it deepens, indigo it does. A shadowy figure, a tongue so insipid, one might have good reason to metabolize. The song of the spirit. To escape a wrong, it happens to be true, given the torment. Wraps itself around a moon's darker side, becometh a fading plight, full of resent. Songs of gold stars are where I reside. A sixth sense, the proprioception I've perceived with a state of misadventure, beyond what keeps us alert. to survive whose ownership it is, to be an auteur, to be listened to, whereas the franchise will in turn be silenced, since as the boy who is filled with woe, it fills my eyes.
Wow. So many, I'm the emotions here are pretty vivid. I like where'd that part go? Persuasion, heartfelt solitudes are heard, reverberating screams bestow all senses still, preserves a long, drawn out, far reaching, touching moments these, I'll wait. And then, oh, where's the other, speak not of the dead, given the torment wraps itself beyond a moon's darker side, keeps us alert, it will deprive whose ownership it was. And the ending there, an almanac does further, word the wise, close its book on another force majeure, O death, still duly keeping the disguise. And I like the question mark there, still duly keeping the disguise, or is it? It seems like he took the all the quotes and all the emotions that were bubbling over out of every one of them and found a way to incorporate them into the spirit of this one. And the song on Golden Stars is a nod to one of the quotes. So he it's like he did a nod to each one of them rather than listing them, which was pretty cool because he put a spin on them that you could feel in his voice as he read, and in the meanings as it came towards the end. And again, I really like that it ends with that question, still duly keeping the disguise. And to me, like that question mark is sort of an, or does it, or you know, or can it? And the end, there's something about this one with the end being this big and bold and fancy there, because the end, okay, so still duly keeping the disguise? Apparently not, because it's the end. So there's a lot of different meanings that I found flowing through this one as we listen to him speak. And then his pronunciations are always really, really fantastic. So great share, Titus. Thank you very much for the writing and the recording. Chaos, what do you think?
Oh, I'm with you on the end. That is just that just is a big punch at the end there. And that last line, that's a powerful ending. Where's that? Given torment wraps itself beyond the moon's darker side, pervading light. I'm obsessed with the moon. Everybody knows that. And the moon's darker side is just would be a great place to visit. Because, you know, I'm in the darkness between them being, so why not go to the darker side of the moon? Let me be all ADD about this poem here. I'll wait until the altitude, the conscious now besieging galaxies, a waste of time it has been given, its dried flight, kindness behind it, demise now taking place of what is ass-driven, evil notion it was to ignite. Oh my gosh, I'm in love with this. I can never hear him read, by the way. I have to read it myself. But I just kind of take the phone away from my ear and I just read. Because it's just frustrating to hear the noise. But yeah, I'm just in love with that part right there. That's just like amazing. But I do love his poetry, and I do wish I could hear him, because I never get to. And y'all always say how wonderful it is. maybe I should go to SoundCloud and listen to him afterwards. But usually I bounce off of some shiny stuff in my house and never get to get to it. But, okay, I'll stop rambling.
No, that was a great comment. And it is, it's very much a shame that you didn't get to hear, because, like I said, his accent adds to it. And if any of the ones that you didn't get to, maybe if you, in the future, like you jot down the, say, the minute mark for the couple that are on SoundCloud, because, like, I don't know if you got to hear the jazz in the background of Wayne's either, but, like, they
yeah,
were some
I can
great
hear
cuts.
Wayne.
Oh, that's
I, I'm
I wonder
not sure
what's
why.
Yeah.
And there's only some people I can hear, some people I can't. I can usually hear Wayne. Occasionally I get to hear Pee-wee.
Wow.
I can never, about half the time I can't hear Pee-wee, and never can I hear Titus.
Huh.
I mean, you're talking about the volume. Yeah, it's pretty low
on
my end, too.
Yeah, about half the time, or over half the time, I can't hear destruction. My other half, destruction. Infinite Destruction is his name now. I want to say Black Destruction, because it used to be Black Destruction of Purple Chaos, but now it's Infinite Destruction.
Isn't that Rome?
I
want to
call him by his real name.
Yeah, sometimes I start to say the W, but you know what it is?
I a lot of times y'all hear me slip up and call him Wade on the show,
what happens?
He never told me not to, so.
Yeah, he hasn't said it to me either, but sometimes it just, with all the different name changes, you just have to keep reminding yourself it's Wade, you know, but
it's like, no, it's Infinite Destruction, okay.
Or Bleeding Romeo, or you know, so like there's a list,
yeah.
and sometimes, yeah. But we know it's
Wiz
him.
Kid.
That's a good
point. Oh, that's going way back. This one, like, what, 8 years ago or something, WizKid?
Something like that, yeah.
No, that was when he was Romeo, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Romeo, that was Romeo.
Leading Romeo, yeah. And there's been, I think there was a WizKid or
Redneck
something.
Romeo was, Redneck Romeo was first, and then he was Bleeding Romeo.
Yeah, so like I said, it's sometimes it's really hard.
The history of
this
name.
Was he Rome, too?
That's all right. That's all right. 10 years ago, or 9.5 years ago, it was Jay Lee.
Yes, it was.
Instead of Jay Hatter.
Yeah, I think.
And I occasionally slip up and want to say, instead of Hatter.
Everybody thought I was Chinese.
No, there's been a couple times where Sky had turned around and said she keeps wanting to call him Jay. Because, like, actually both of you ladies have known Hatter longer than I have, so.
I did Purple Chaos for 15 years.
I was just
but I had
writing
some
that
news.
On the board.
I
was just writing. I still call him Jay.
Yeah, yeah.
I have some
and
news
I,
to you guys.
I've been Deborah Lee the day I joined. That's my name. I never understood all the name changes. I don't know. I guess some people change their name with the mood.
I have some news for you guys.
What's that?
Chaos is retiring.
What?
Purple Chaos is retiring.
To what?
And I will leave that account. And 15 years worth of poetry sitting there. But I am recreating myself. And you will get more information about that in the next couple weeks. And I will still remain Chaos. But I will no longer be Purple.
Well, we'll take reports as long as you're not leaving. So that's all good.
I'm not leaving. But Purple Chaos is retiring. And I am recreating myself.
I'm rebranding myself.
Yeah.
My work. You left 15 years worth of gifts in there, so, you know. All good.
Yeah,
okay, but just make sure you import them.
I am leaving that I'm leaving that up because I'm leaving that behind, and I'm just going to leave that account as it is, and anything written in the last 2 months is moving to a new account.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And you guys will know what it is when I get it put together, but as you guys are near and dear to me. Y'all are knowing first that I am rebranding and I'm going to retire Purple Chaos.
Go to new Violet Riot.
No,
Violet,
I'm still going to be Chaos. I have to still
chaos.
Be Chaos because chaos, I am Chaos and Chaos is me. But Chaos is going to move on. But I just won't be purple anymore.
Well, you'll always be purple in our hearts, so it's all good.
Like
all right,
purple,
well,
but I'll have some more news for you in the upcoming weeks. I will have news for you guys. So, yeah.
I'm
excited.
Read, like, purple girl. I'm not a purple girl.
Excited.
And okay, if you guys would click on LG Mace. I will read for. Yeah, I'll read for her. And she wrote to quote number 9, and that quote is a flutter of wings. It says petals on the wind. And this poem is called Mesmerized by L.G. Mace. And here we go. An innocent creature, a cat of purest white. Her eyes full of curiosity, giving her boring life delight. Those golden feline eyes take in the beautiful butterfly, waiting for it to continue on its journey, never asking why. Two different creatures, one a feline and the other a pretty insect, both of them seemingly in harmony, full attention, time uniquely not to neglect. The cat has seen many things in her full life, living her 9 lives to the fullest without regret. But the butterfly has not that many hours aimed at extinction's tragic strife. So this image of beauty, butterfly resting, fluttering its wings, echoes of nature's awesomeness hiding from invisible winds. Resting, searching for petaled flowers, listen to the mother nature as she sings. So this portrait of beauty, of butterfly and feline, seen hypnotically in cat's amazed eyes, by the wonder in front of both of them, simply mesmerized. End poem. You know, I kind of feel like that was like an enchanted little journey there. One of those unexpected friendships between that cat and that butterfly. And I like that she, where's that line? But the butterfly has not that many hours aimed at extinction's tragic strife. And that little shout out there is a sad truth. It literally breaks my heart to know that monarch butterflies are on the endangered species list. I thought this came out great. It spoke really well to those fluttering wings from the quote by Purple Chaos. And LG, it was my honor to be your reader. Thank you for sending this in. What do you think, Chaos?
Took me a minute to read it. My tablet wouldn't load. I like the switching back and forth, like you said, kind of the relationship between the two.
I like this portrait of beauty of butterfly and feline seen hypnotically in the cat's amazed eyes. That's really cool. And I like the use of the little squiggly. I'm sorry. That just, I know that gets on some people's nerves, but I actually love that. It's kind of like Emily Dickinson's dash. And I have to laugh at this innocent creature, a cat of purest white. That's a disguise if I've ever seen one. I'm sorry. I'm way ADD, but I'm having fun with it, so that's all good, right?
Yeah, sometimes being in the spotlight can be overwhelming.
Huh?
I said, but sometimes being part of the spotlight and everything being directed towards your words can be pretty overwhelming. So it's all good.
Well, this is actually better than I've been in I don't know, a month. So I've got better focus tonight than I've had in a long time. So this is good.
Cool.
I've been really bad lately. I could actually read a whole poem tonight. And I really love it, so we'll just go with that.
That works. Fantastic. And Ms. Sky, I would like to see if you could comment on that and then maybe tell us what's going on and then read one more for me, please.
Yes, thank you. I thought this was wonderful, and I always enjoy LG Mace's poetry. One, I have to say, I think it's great that she has, she put in a little bit of advocacy on the butterflies, and yeah, it's just, even me, I don't know every endangered species. I happen to know butterflies and bees. Bees are a big one for me, but definitely I don't know everything, and I love when poetry, well, I think you know this, Deb, about me too, as many people do. I love to learn, and I just like to learn, and when poetry can kind of bring out a truth in it, while bringing in this playful scene, I think is wonderful, because you're overlaying two different concepts. You're overlaying putting this on a platform and saying we need to watch this out because, you know, all these beautiful things and they're becoming endangered. But while putting in the entertainment spin on it as well, so you're kind of get caught up in it, and then you're like, oh, there's also a deeper meaning here. I liked how, where was it? Her eyes full of curiosity giving. That is a great line, but there's one. Oh, yeah, here, okay. So when she starts introducing the two unlike creatures, right? I mean, you know, these two unlike creatures, and then she starts putting their in the past. And it's kind of funny that, not kind of funny, but it's uncanny. She writes about living her nine lives to the fullest without regret. And she speaks of the nine lives. And anybody that knows anything about butterflies, their life is one life, and it's very short. So to have these two unlike creatures that live so differently kind of together and share this moment and the way that she describes it, I really enjoyed. Excellent. Wonderfully done.
Great comment.
Kind of went on a tangent.
Tell us what's up. Do you read?
Yes. So tomorrow night I am on Team of Voices, and I did put it up a little late, so you guys can bring me whatever you want related to this. It is really cool. So Wayne, I think, he can bring any of his like poems where he brings people out in the woods and he just knocks them off, because I feel like people need to learn surviving skills from Wayne. Oh, you're Wayne. You're still here. Great. Okay. So I feel like if you bring If you bring, I didn't even know you were still here. If you bring a poem about you know, axing someone off in the woods, I also want you to tell me what life-saving facts they could do. So you don't have to write a new one if you don't have time. But I want you to keep it in the back of your mind, one life-saving skill this person could have done to live through the way.
Come on, boys. I'll be there.
The video is by far the longest one I put up so far. You do not have to watch the whole thing. You could literally skip to the middle and just watch the middle. It is just 100 life-saving facts. But I will tell you, if you do watch it, there's a lot of things that people are told to do. Like if you're dying of thirst and then eat snow, that is not the thing to do. So it might save your life. I might save your life one day if you watch this video or watch Mojo does, because that's what video we did. So you could write anything, fact or fiction. You could write the reality of it, or you can take one little life-saving fact. You could talk about being mauled by a bear. You can literally do anything you want. Just, you know, watch a bit of the film. I mean, a bit of the thing.
It might be a good time.
I'm sorry, Wayne.
It might be a good time to take, Dibby for a walk out of the woods.
Yeah, I feel like someone should do 100 life-saving facts not to be killed off by Wayne in his poetry. I feel like someone might...
Yeah,
I
don't
think someone might do that.
So I'm not taking a walk with him in the woods if invited.
Yeah, exactly. It's just fun. Go learn something, and hopefully it'll be useful to you, because these are real life facts. And hopefully in your journey through life, it'll be useful for you, and you can let it inspire whatever poem you want. It doesn't have to be exactly on the exact, you know, message. It could be just inspired by. So have fun. I'll see you all at 8 o'clock tomorrow night on Team of Voices. And that's it. Thank you, Deb.
My pleasure. Nothing Thursday?
Oh, yes. I was too concerned about saving everybody's life. Hold on. I don't even know what I'm doing. Okay. So, oh, yeah. Oh, Thursday. So exciting. This is my new favorite movie. Christmas in July. We're doing the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. If you haven't seen it, it's okay. It's like an hour film. Just click on the two videos I have, and you get to see Kevin Bacon singing. And then this other holiday song that is hilarious. And I really encourage you to listen to that song, because it is the funniest thing I've heard in a long time. You can bring a Christmas poem. You can bring something about Guardians of the Galaxy. You can bring a parody of a Christmas song, even if it has nothing to do with Guardians of the Galaxy, it's fine. We're just celebrating Christmas in July, and we're celebrating this great film that Guardians of the Galaxy did last Christmas, and I just love the film. I actually just rewatched it last week, and it's just brilliant, really. So that's out at 8 o'clock on Thursday, Eastern Standard Time, on Poetic Slice. Thank you, Deb.
My pleasure.
And I'm reading Jenny
have...
the Deep, right?
Yes, please.
Okay, so Jenny the Deep used the lines... carry black storm clouds into violet skies, striking the lightning to see fire brightening behind my eyes, and ripping fabric rings, no bells, as desperation deepens the grooves of reverberating screams by purple chaos, of course. And this is Breaking Free from Deceit's Blindness by Jenny the Deep. She trapped herself in a portal of deceit. Violet mystical haze, cloud descent memories, no way out from her own malignant darkness, endlessly descending into a hazy hysteria abyss. Everyone seems to see right through her transparent lies, invisible to the world, lost in her hellish realm. Disbelieving eyes, too blind to see clear truth. scorching shards sting selfish, sinning souls. Inaudible screams, silence, breaking trust, fearing reflections behind her cynical eyes. Amethyst firestorms burn turmoils to dust, freeing shattered spirits into mysterious skies. Enchanted purple roses whisper heavenly melodies of freedom, shedding chaotic, toxic thorns that scar angelic faces, breaking through to the other side, blind no more, blinded no more, is intuition, never to let vanity take control of life again. End poem. Sorry about that little bit at the end. Really, really well done. Thank you.
Great read, Sky. Thank you. And yeah, I liked right from the beginning there, she trapped herself in a portal of deceit, violet mystical haze. Wow, descent memories. I like the thought of that portal of deceit. I often say a web of deceit, but portal is really cool. I love the way she used that wording there. Inaudible screams, silence, breaking trust, fearing reflections behind her cynical eyes. I like the inaudible screams. Whenever you think of a scream, you think of the loudness or the shrieking of it. But to me, and I've said this before, because in my nightmares when I scream, no sound comes out. And to me, there's nothing more horrifying than trying to scream and there's no sound coming out. And if people can't hear you, they can't help you. They can't come to your rescue. They can't, you know, it's just like you're invisible. And so the inaudible screams really add to the horror of the words, you know. And what was the other? Amethyst firestorms burn turmoils to dust, freeing shattered spirits into mysterious skies. So the images are fantastic and spooky in a lot of the spots. But back to the title, Breaking Free from Deceit's Blindness. And sometimes it's like deceit from someone blindsides you. So I like the way she put into the title Deceit's Blindness, because like you don't see it coming. So now here we are from the title, you don't see it coming, and you have the inaudible screams throughout. It's like, holy cow, vicious. Great wording. And there was also breaking through to the other side. So I kind of like the little nod to the doors there. Blinded no more is intuition, never to let vanity take control of life again. I like the way she spun this. I think it came out fantastic, and I appreciate it. And Sky, awesome read. Change up the order a little bit. Did you want to comment on the poem you just read?
Yeah, I thought it was wonderful. And, you know, I was a little weary when I was reading about the alliteration. I was like, oh, I hope I don't mess this up. I know I stammered a little bit towards the end, but I was like, the alliteration was done so well that I actually didn't even pause while reading it. And I think alliteration is such a wonderful tool, and it is easy to kind of get tongue-twisted and tongue-tied. But the way that she wrote this, the scorching shards thing, I think it was just really, really, it was easy to read aloud, and it's even through the alliteration that sometimes can be a little stumbly, which is great when it's not, and it's just fluent. And I thought she did a really great job there. And then of course the content, there was wonderful verbiage. With the hazy hysteria abyss, I thought that was cool. And I like how she did that. She kind of changed the, the use of hysteria abyss. And it's a little eye-catching because it's a little bit different from you know, in its verbiage. So I thought that was really creative as well. And when we got down to the Enchanted Purple Rose's Whisper, I couldn't help but think that might have been even a little bit of a nod to Purple Chaos herself, and I thought that was great, if not happy accident. And the whole message behind, so like we look into mirrors and sometimes we can kind of trick ourselves, and sometimes that mirror kind of breaks down. And, you know, you see the people that maybe that kind of lie and kind of lie so much that they believe their own lies. And how do you break from that blindness kind of in the title that she has? And I thought it was really well done. Sorry I'm so long-winded today, Deb. And comment.
No, it's cool. Yeah, no, it's a great comment. Thank you very much. And again, thank you for reading. And Chaos, what did you think?
I found this very interesting. People are I'm talking.
Children. Can't put them in a box and ship them to Abu Dhabi. Can't afford the postage. Anyway, some really interesting lines in this one. I like scorching shards, being selfish. I have terrible times with this, and I picked this one, right? Scorching shards, being selfish, thinning souls. I love that. I am inferring shattered spirits into mysterious skies. There's just some really awesome word choices in this. I mean, just the combinations are just really, really cool. In the end of this, never to let vanity take control of life again. I was with you on the Doors reference to Dead. I love the Doors.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was intentional. Is that a Doors nod? I wonder. But if so, that's really awesome. The way it ended and the word combinations in some of these lines is just really, really cool. Moving on.
Great comment.
Jenny's deep.
Did a cat just disappear? Oh. On your head.
Yeah, no. Okay. Let me see here. The next poem I have is by Kay, and then we'll do Stephen as well, and they both sent sound clips. But before I push Kay's, I thought I would mention that it's 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Kay will be celebrating Christmas in July, and she'll be doing so by she put out some art, okay? The artist Lisa Asado and A Christmas Carol tied together, which is the art here is really, really cool. It's dramatic and cartoonish, and there's like Tiny Tim's in it and the Christmas ham and the ghost, of course, but the visuals that you would imagine from A Christmas Carol are captured by this artist, and she's got a lot of really fantastic art to choose from. So check out the topic at A Poetic Slice on Wednesday night at 7. And let me head over here, and I will grab, okay, the poem, or the link is on the board. The quote that inspired Kay is, "When the violet blow, I go where the indigo wraps itself around the moon, and sings gold stars a gentle tune. And here comes the poem by Kay.
Heaven and Earth Connection by Kay. Birch crackling spice, this moonlight harvest, newborn's hope and purification. Beams eruption of immaculate stoic, afloat's tranquility. Part on the water, tourniquets laminated sheerness. Encased upon chronicle signatures, the portrait stripping the veneer of earth and water that is her essence. Shudder and malt's time and taboos of brandishing pale skin. Ashen chest chokes, hurts the fragility of her bones. Screaming, pagan in patches of mist, the night whispers. Detachment stitches the notes. Traced like a toddler that doesn't know how to stand in lines. Veils weep in vain. Dressed edges clutches icy winter berries of spring snowflakes. Thickets of dandelions, wickets of blushes of base, red banisters pillar in her grace. Sealed in watercolor splotches fallen over her shoulders. Laced to fabric and homely states of stone unmanicured. Make wretched, cut to the quick. Canopies crumble in paper institutions. Nature's inheritances. Gilts and aristocratic vein and jams, the drawn of shades embroidered, charcoal drawn's perfumed air, programs of peace, voyeurs a gallery of spirit, precision of offense vulgarities, a sacrilege as she watches the seeds take flight. End poem.
Oh, wow. Wow. Where do I start? I'm going to start at the beginning because I'm still taken by one of the metaphors. Canopies, crumbling paper institutions. Now, to me, that speaks of like a house of cards that's tumbling. Canopies, crumbling paper institutions, nature's inheritances. Like they crumble and then the nature just swallows it back up. Like those buildings that you'll see, they're falling down and the vines are slowly taking over the structure and the trees and everything. I mean, it's really, really cool. And wow. Dressed edges clutches the icy winter berries of spring snowflakes. Thickets of daffodil wickets, blushes of base and red banisters pillaring her grace. I think that there was to me, that was a really pretty image of the banisters pillowing her grace. She's standing there in all her glory, and there's a it looks like a dove bringing maybe the ribbon that might have fallen from her hair, or it also looks like it might be a chain. I mean, a key on the end of it. So, like the bird is bringing her a key to set her free. So pulling the words and the image, I think, came out really great. Ashen chest chokes, hurts the frailty of her bones screaming. To me, of the bones screaming. Huh?
Can I say something when you're done?
Oh, sure, yeah. Bones screaming speaks of pain, whether it... A bone pain would be one of those pains that people can't see, almost the same as like an invisible illness where they look at you and they think, you know, well, you look fine, but they don't know how you feel inside and what the pain might be. Gosh, there's so many things in this one. But back to the very beginning, birch crackling spice says moonlight harvest, newborn's hope and purification. And one of the most prominent things that we think of with spring is rebirth and growing anew. So I like the moonlight harvest, newborn's hope and purification. That is the most clever way I've heard to say that things are renewed in spring. Kay has one of the most clever ways of threading together metaphors and painting these images in ways that I would have never thought to put them. And in this one, I could tell she was really inspired because it's one of her longer rites. And you can see You could feel the love in some of the parts, and I get like a feel that she and that bird that's approaching her as a friend. And I also like the fact that there's a stack of books there, so I know she gets joy reading, and it just, so there's like joy in the image. There's a lot of different emotions that are in the words and the metaphors that she used. I really think this came out stellar. Excellent metaphors as always. She is definitely a metaphor queen. Great work, Kay. Thank you very much, and also for the sound clip. Let me get you some comments. Chaos, what do you think?
Wow, there is so much to this. She really, as you said, this is one of her longer pieces. There's so much in here. But what really struck me was the second big stanza here. The ashen check strokes curved the fragility of her bones, screaming thin in patches of mist. The night whispers. Detachment stitches the notes, traced like a toddler that doesn't know how to stay in the line. I really like that. The toddler that doesn't know how to stand alone there, and almost like trying to get my words and my words to connect here. I can't. But anyway, I just like the idea of not being able to stay in the lines and the detachment of that. That the way she connected that, I really love. Even though I can't get words to work. Good thing I don't write while I'm on shows, right? I write alone in the dark.
Okay. Oh, good. I like what Kay does. To me, prerequisite in the free verse genre is the beautiful run-on sentence. It just runs on, and it's beautifully done. In grammar, that's a fault, but in poetry, I think it's beautiful, and she does it quite well through these verses. That's what I wanted to add.
Great comments, both of you. And Guy, did you want to comment before I play Steven?
I'm sorry with the comment rotation. I didn't think you were calling me, but I'm glad you did. I just wasn't prepared. Kind of along the lines with Hatter said too. I do agree with how poetry gives us such an ability to kind of break free from that. And Deb, I hate to tell you this, but you took every line. I was going to yell at you, but I was like, I don't think she's going to call on me this time. But it's true. But there was one line that you had said that I really enjoyed. And there was a lot. I really enjoyed the nuance of the piece. The section, I think a few people, the coloring toddler, coloring out of the lines, I think a few people had touched upon that, and I thought that was it just seems like it was just like a drop-in line. I don't know if you know what I mean, but I kind of just dropped in there. It's like a side thought in the middle of the overall thought, but I really liked I really like when people add in those drop-in thoughts, because I think it gives so much more to the piece. I kind of like that idea of staying with the whole, I guess you would say, external metaphor, but then you start dropping all these little things that are everyday things, but when you put them in perspective of the right, they become much more in meaning. So I liked that. I loved the winter berries of spring snowflakes. I liked how she kind of put spring with winter. Like, You want it to be spring. You want it to be youthful. You want to have a renewal, and yet you still have those winter berries and those snowflakes gathering around. I was very partial to the dandelion wickets as well. And she captured so many things. And there was one other line, but I don't think I'm going to be able to find it. I should have kept my cursor on it. But yeah, I think you're right. You know, the emotion through it was very strong, and as always, she did really well with the write.
Fantastic comment. And let's see. I have Stevens on the board, and I am looking to see. Okay, wait a minute. Let me go over here and just look real quick to see the quote before I push play. Stephen, he wrote to two. He wrote to number three. Ripping fabric rings no bells as desperation deepens the grooves of reverberating screams, as well as floodwaters call me to wade into darkness, seeking death's cut flower dirge. And on that note, I will push play on his recording. And here we go.
The Seed of the Crow Sends to Plummet Below by Stephen 76. Of purity kept from boarding school, Ouija board, seismic glue, to planchette pencils scarring finished dining table. Traveling song of digging men and self-silent stricken whelp, bringing canvas tent, bonfire, sweven, of grinning betrothed crow. How I love to love Nadine. Solos in the bouldered free zone, tempting untouched to play, who never thought about the burning one gets from fribbling flames. Scarved Vespa ride into cold desert night, where flags will tarnish bride of white, color drained from hair and face, as spawn does grow at bloated pace. Inside withering womb it grows so cold, balancing balcony rails beckon. Swan dive to crush the moribund seed, cracked pavement, cracked skull. Pitch quilled gambles crumbling as four horsemen loom from the east. End poem.
Wow. Okay, for starters, look at that picture. The back and forth between her and the raven or the crow is like kind of creepy. You sort of want to know what's going to happen from there. And entitled, The Seed of the Crow Sends to Plummet Below. Great, great title. I like the second stanza, Traveling Song of Digging Men and Self-Silence Stricken Whelp, Bringing Canvas Tent Bonfire, Sweven of Grinning Betrothed Crow. And the thought of a betrothed crow is kind of like a whoa moment there. Where's that? Almost at the end there. Inside withering womb it grows so cold, balancing balcony rails beckon. Swan dive to crush the moribund seed, cracked pavement, cracked skull. And the thought of her desperation to be standing there at that balcony, ready for that swan dive, ready to jump off, is so overwhelmingly sad. And then you look at the picture below that where he shows her, you would assume just before she jumped, versus how she looked before all the sadness and desperation kicked in and took over. And it's just like your worst, your saddest, the saddest part of you seeps outward and takes over. And like I said, it drives you to the edge of that balcony. And it's just such a sad I can't think of the word I want to use. Like, you just, you lost all hope. There's nothing left. to quote the song I did earlier, the little light inside of hers looks like it's not shining anymore either. And that crow, like, just I like the way he combined the pictures and the words and Chaos's quote. This is, like, really creepy. And then to tie Chaos's words in with Stephen King, I think it is really, really cool as well. So, Stephen, I think you did a fantastic job with this, and I'm impressed. Appreciate it. Chaos, what you think?
She said on the board she needs a minute.
I'm sorry?
She said on the board she needs a minute.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Okay. Will you comment for Stephen, Sky?
Yeah, I'd love to. So, Randall Flagg is like the representation of the crow because it kind of turns into him in the film. I love, as a person who loves to write about fandoms and to write about literature and films that I really enjoy, I really love when Stephen does as well. Of course, because we like a lot of the same things and we enjoy a lot of the same fandoms. So to see what he does with how he portrays not only storylines but character developments, and the way that he kind of puts it into words and in stanzas and in poetry and filters through a storyline in his own way. You know, some people might say, well, it's someone else's story, so it's easy to write down in a poem. It's not. It's not easy because you're refiltering all that, and as someone who does it a lot, you're refiltering all, of this. Well, first of all, you're picking out an entire four-hour movie or, like, whatever. I think this is, like, this book has to be, like, 1,000 pages. It's really long, The Stand. And you're condensing that into one poem, and you're choosing one moment or one scene or one character, and you're trying to portray that and filter it through your own words. And your own understanding, and I think that it's not as easy as one may think. And when I see Stephen do it, I really enjoy it because he's so creative in his the way that he puts things. One, he tends to be like very specific and very technical at times, and of course when he brings in How I Love to Love Nadine, I love how he put quotes in that because that is a direct line from the fandom. And, of course, then he goes on to his own words. So he does the tribute and the honor of putting it in quotes. And then he just brings in this, I still have chills. And he's giving me chills thinking about Nadine in that desert. I don't even like to watch that scene anymore. I think I've gone past, I'm too old, I don't want to watch it. It just freaks me out. And the way that you kind of put it, the she flags, which, by the way, wear flags, Randall Flagg, will tarnish bride of white, color drained from her face, his spawn grows on a bloated pace. I mean, it's chilling. Chilling the way you put it, and I think you captured it well, really well done.
Inside withered womb, it grows so cold. One line.
Yeah.
Right?
I know. Wow. And yeah, it was great. It was great for the fandom, and it was great how he twisted it into poetry and was able to do that. I mean, yeah, really well done. I mean, she had a really stark storyline, you know? Really well done.
Great comment. And I just wanted to mention we have three left. One that I'll read for Infinite Destruction, and then we have two SoundClouds, one from Pee-wee, and then the final one from Bill the Poet. Before I push those, though, I thought I would mention, well, Sky already told us about her show tomorrow night at 8. On Wednesday night, we have Crystal Hope back. Yay! And her topic is car trips. was live at 9 p.m. Eastern, and she said, give me a poem on traveling trip in a car. Where'd you go? What was the scenery? Give me the details. So, again, that's Wednesday at 9. And then Thursday night at 10, we have Sweet Pea, but I really am not sure what her topic is, so we will have to keep an eye on the board, see what she puts up, entice us. On Friday night at 10 is the first of the two open poetry shows held by Liquid Damage, and Linda goes live, like I said, at 10 p.m. on Friday night, and then that would bring us back to Saturday, and this week Hatter's chosen the topic, and his topic is poppies, wherever that word just took you is what Hatter wants to hear about. And
why didn't you stop me?
Huh?
I tried writing to that. I'm having trouble. Why did you stop me? That's a bad thing.
I don't know, Hatter. I assumed you wanted to write about that hill. You like to talk about it. You should take us.
I thought I did. But I did. It's on my mind.
Oh, you have talked about it already.
No, but.
Yeah. So another note here, we have featured just about every single poet. No, I'll change that. We have featured every poet that participates every Monday. And tonight, Chaos was the last of our fellow poets. And I have decided that I will close out this amazing series in the same way we started. The very first time we did this, I pulled quotes from the board members, four from each of us, and I mixed them up and put them on the board, and I'll put the topic up tonight. I didn't want to put the topic up in case I missed somebody, but from what I can tell and from everything I traced back, I'm pretty sure that, you know, every single person that contributes week after week has been featured. So what we'll do is, aside from the art and the quotes that you can choose to write from, I will also list the 16 different quotes, four of them from each of us, from me, from AP, from Hatter, and from Sweet Pea. And what you can do is make a list, 1 to 16, take a look at the quotes, and guess which quotes you think which one of the board members wrote. And whoever gets the most correct guesses wins 10,000 points. So it's just a way to give you guys a few points. And actually, Hatter got them all right last year. So he needs to get his butt kicked. So who's going to top that? Just saying. So I'll have that board up tonight, and you guys can make your guesses and do your writes. But it's been an amazing, amazing series, and the poetry that's been inspired by each other's words is mind-blowing. And thank you to every single one of you who said yes and allowed us to use your words to inspire the poetry. And speaking of words to inspire the poetry, if you guys would click on the poem by Infinite Death, Infinite Destruction, I don't even know where that came from, and the quote that he wrote to as a tribute to Purple Chaos is, "Floodwaters call me to wade into darkness, seeking death's cut flower dirge." So, here we go. This is Beloved Darkness, Death. She trudged, wading through depths. Her heartbeat was strong, yet despairing. His heart broken, but no failing of intimacy. The scars protruding viciously, but invisibly. Sight short, but she expressed interest regardless, failing to see the dawn peering into his dusky eyes, beaten, bruised, full of godless trauma he endured, loving his shame, worried of his pain. He couldn't be trusted with her heart, not because he embodied evil intent, but the darkness carried a shifting face. He may have loved, but not himself. Her love couldn't be the salvation despite her warmth of accepting grace. a coldness he couldn't shake, murdering his will. Life was a punishment he could no longer bear. The frigid steel cylinder caressed his tear-soaked chin. The percussion shook her world to absolute desolation. She lays on the grave of her beloved darkness, daring not to dress with her garments made of black, wishing her tears would light for him a path to come back, to beat death, since life abandoned him. End poem. Oh, my goodness. Talk about overwhelming emotions, and talk about, if you look at that picture, he absolutely, without a photo, to life in full living color, like he gave it a story, and it's believable, and you could feel it in his words. The only thing that would have made it better was him being able to read it himself. And there's so many I could choose, but I keep getting drawn to loving his shame, worried of his pain. He couldn't be trusted with her heart, not because he embodied evil intent, but the darkness carried a shifting face. Well, I thought that this was incredibly powerful, and the perfect match between the words Chaos wrote and the art by Jessica Elaine only made more intense and better by the stanzas that I'm going to say that he bled onto this page, each one a little more powerful with emotion than the last, and the vivid dark images all combined to again completely bring this art to life. End the quote. We missed hearing you read, Infinite, but I hope I did it justice, and it was an incredible poem. Thank you. Chaos, what do you think?
Yeah. This is perfection right here. And that's a nod to me, and I appreciate it. He took that off that left margin, and he poured it onto the page. It took it to my style, and that was obvious and odd for me, and I appreciate it. Poem itself is absolutely, absolutely emotional wreckage. I mean, it's just devastating, but beautiful at the same time. And you know me, I'm a sad poet, and I love just be a puddle at the end of the poem. So yeah, I love this.
And I was just noticing on the board, anyone who doesn't think they'll be able to write for next week's show, still do feel free to make guesses on the quotes once I list them. Okay, we have two left. And if you guys click on the recording by Pee-wee Cousin, I will push play right now. And here we go.
Alone in grandiose hall with the vacant throne, twisted wrought iron gates to heaven blown, like the last shadowy limbs reaching upward, tries to cling to the falling stars, moon, and earth. Stood beside God with her five fiery brothers, evil despots assassinated during their slumber. Black waters calling her away into darkness, seeking to play the dirge of death's lotus kiss. Quiet angels become shades hovering in stars, banished to avoid demonic songs that slice and scar. Last remaining hand of the divine fury's poise, to reconquer or bleed out heaven's lone voice. Quick molting of winged appendages send bone, steel, flying simultaneously enemies it rends. Alone, naked, wingless, clawing, feathered wings. Desperate chisel's teeth reverberates her screams.
My, oh my. Sometimes by the time the poem ends, you're like, wow. And I get like tongue twisted trying to think what to say. I like the title there, Seraphim. Perfect for the art, for sure. Alone in grandiose hall with a vacant throne, twisted wrought iron gates to heaven blown. Like the last shadowy limbs reaching upward tries to cling to the falling stars, moon, and earth. It's a play on the quote, but twisted enough to not be verbatim. And it just, my goodness, limbs reaching upward. You can picture it in that vacant throne, with the vacant throne. There's a sad destitution to the thought of a vacant throne, and nobody in power, nobody there. Who are we looking for if there's nobody sitting there? Who will help? What will become of us? It's like all these thoughts cross your mind just with the thought of that vacant throne. Quiet angels become shades hovering in stars and vanish to avoid demonic songs that slice and scar. Potent words here, my goodness, alone, naked, wingless, clawing, ripping fabric wings, desperate, chisels deep, and reverberates her scream. Another slight play on the quote, but it twisted enough to make it his own and to drive the thought of the, I'm back to that desperate throne, or vacant throne, and it's just like there she is. There's darkness around her. The throne's vacant, and she's the seraphim. So what does she do? My goodness, to reconquer or bleed out heaven's lone voice. What a line! I think it's fantastic. Very impressed, and I'm glad you made it in time to hear it, Pee-wee. Amazing, right? I appreciate you supporting the show every week. And Chaos, what did you think?
This is good. This is amazing. I mean, just like, wow. And it just, I don't know if it's me. So maybe I'm imagining things, but it seems like quite a few, of course, kind of stepped away from the usual tonight. Maybe I'm imagining things. I am a bit delusional at times. This seems to be a little different. But there are some lines in here I'm really in love with here. The thing to play is the dirge of death lotus. Just that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And the ending just rips it out, throws it away. Alone, naked, wingless, flying, ripping fabric, wings, desperate, chiseled, deep, burning, reverberates her screams. Yeah, that's just that. Yeah, I'm just, I'm done. Excellent.
Hattery, you want to quote?
There's been so many.
Yeah, you want to comment?
Just getting me right.
Hatter.
Hatter here.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my screen up. It blinked off. Yeah, I think this is just this whole night. It's been a great collection of pieces, every one of them. Like I've said before, the progress everybody's taken in the last several years that we've been together writing, you can just see some of them just so much better, like Kay and Wayne and a whole bunch. It's just another one. Thank you.
Yeah, and touching on what Chaos had just said, I think that the quotes that are chosen and the art speak to the poets, and it seems that the words that you guys wrote tonight, you, Chaos, are what lead the topic and send people in the direction. And Jessica Elaine's work is just stunning. And your words went so well with the art chosen that, you know, you drove the topics tonight. People were writing to, they were writing inspired by what you said, so it might have been different for them. But as Pee Wee elegantly said on the board, the quotes set the tone, and those are yours. So you inspired what you hear tonight, which everybody's done an amazing job. Okay, and we have one poem left, and it is by the amazing poet, Phil the Poet. So if you click on his words, the quote he chose is, "Shadowy limbs reach upward, grasping to hold the fading sun." And here comes his SoundCloud or his YouTube.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Warrior of the Frozen Lands. Aroused by the crowing of a jet-black raven, the warrior rises from his snow-felt haven. Imprints of prayers engraved upon his lips, the dawn shines through the frozen drips. And through the howling wind of winter, across the lake where the ice does splinter, accompanied by the frigid days of youth, sacrificing everything to find the real truth. Trudging through the slough of despond, hearing the lamentation of a winter's song, doubts and despair pulling our hero down, fighting for every breath to gain the crown, swiping at the demons that come his way, squealing when they see him kneel to pray. A double-edged sword cleaves to his hand, every step the snow melts from the land. Days getting shorter, night arrives too soon, an eerie mist eclipses the light of the moon. Time to rise from the past and move on. This warrior's adventure has only just begun. End poem.
Goodness, I am grabbing the art that he wrote to, inspired by the quote, and putting it up on the board so you guys can take a look at that while I comment. I like the title. The title itself perfectly describes the art, Warrior of the Frozen Lands. And he jumps right in, aroused by the crowing of a jet-black raven. The warrior rises from the snow-felt haven. And I like the fact that it's the thought or the crowing of that raven that speaks to the warrior and gives him strength. And I know that a couple of times you've mentioned your love for a raven, and I think you said you have a couple that hang around you. So I really like that he took his story and based it on that raven and that warrior. Onward through the howling wind of winter, across the lake where the ice does splinter, accompanied by the frigid days of youth, sacrificing everything to find the real truth. And the thought of that, the sacrifice that any warrior is willing to lay down his life for the truth, or what he's looking for in his journey. Swiping at the demons that come his way, squealing when they see him kneel to pray. A double-edged sword cleaves to his hand every step. The snow melts from the land. There's something about the swiping those demons that come his way. It is a powerful thought. And as he's kneeling to pray, the use of the words squealing when they see him kneel to pray, it's like them acknowledging that they know that's what he's doing when he kneels. I think that this came out really, really clever. And it doesn't matter, I say this a lot, but it doesn't matter what we throw at Phil, he can spin it into an image-filled story with great details and usually a strong meaning, where in this one it's what this warrior is going through in pursuit of the truth. You always blow me away, Phil. You did a fantastic job bringing Chaos's words and that art to life, and I appreciate it very much. So, Ms. Chaos, what you think of this one?
I love the story. Yeah, I love the raven. I have more than a couple. I have a murder in my yard. Yes, I love that this he made a whole story around this. This is so amazing that he basically made a little story out of the picture, and I really liked that picture when I saw it in the topic, and because I do a lot of I have a very eclectic taste in reading, but I do like stories of warriors and such like that, and so this is very interesting to me. So I really enjoyed it.
Awesome comment. And yeah, Hatter, you get the last comment.
The last comment. Well, first, great show. Cass, I'm glad you're back. Can't wait to see your new identity. In comment.
I am looking forward to introducing her to the world. I'm working bit by bit on all my platforms that she will be out and about on. So it's taking a long time to get this done, because it's not just going to be all poetry. So I will be letting y'all in on all of the plans.
You're not changing how you write, are you?
Definitely not. I have changed how I write, actually, and that's kind of what inspired me to do this.
Yeah.
Is in the last, 2 to 3 months, I think my writing has changed from what I've done in the past years.
Oh yeah.
So I believe that change has inspired me to do other things. I've decided to leave what I've done in the past and move on with what I'm doing now.
There you go.
So, yeah. And it's a bit of a challenge for me, but I think it's a great move forward for me. So, but yeah, as I take steps, like I said, y'all are near and dear to me, so y'all will be the first one knowing about what's going on with me. So, other than
so this is
the crazy one standing behind me.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
who helps me
out
every step of the way?
Chaos. I was going to say once again, thank you for allowing us to write to your quotes. I think your words inspired some amazing poetry. I think that this has been one of the most amazing series ever, and it's been a joy to be able to write to the words of all our fellow poets and do it so incredibly. Not one night went by that we weren't incredibly impressed by the poems that were inspired by each other. And next week, like I said, we'll close it out with the members of the board and a little bit of a guessing game, and then we'll change things up a little the week after that. But for the time being, you're all amazing and appreciated more than you know. I want to thank our sponsor, AP Taylor, as well as my amazing board, like my big brother Hatter and AP and Sweet Pea. And again, thank you, Chaos. And thank you to Kay and Steven and Angel and Jenny and Pee-wee and Wayne and Titus and Infinite Destruction and LG Mace and Phil the Poet and Ms. Sky. Appreciate you all. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern on Sky Show. And, I guess that is about all of it. And like I like to say every now and then, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Love and respect, everyone. Good night. Thank you, Hatter. Night, everyone. Love and respect. Night, Hatter.